You are listening to the podcast of Providence Church in Austin, Texas. We hope this message raises your affections for Jesus and helps you live out the gospel in everyday life.
The land is a major, major theme in the book of Deuteronomy. God had delivered Israel out of slavery, but he didn't deliver them just so they could wander around the desert forever. He didn't deliver them to be exiles. He was taking them to a place. He was taking them to the land of Canaan. It was the land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to their descendants. The land was to be a place of abundance. It was to be a place flowing with, it says, milk and honey. A land of lots of produce, green hills and valleys. There would be rain there. Can you imagine what that would be like? To have rain? It would be awesome, wouldn't it? It would be a place where God watered and took care of throughout the year. The land was also to be a place of blessing. The land was also to be a place of rest. The land was also to be a home for a people who had never had a home. For 430 years, these people were slaves in the land of Egypt. That was not their home. And then for 40 more years, they had wandered in the wilderness, which was not their home. 470 years, homeless. The land was to be a home for them. Through his sermons in Deuteronomy, Moses had been preparing Israel to live in the land, and they were ready to enter. I mean, we come to the end of Deuteronomy, and it's like you sense the excitement. The excitement is just palpable. You can feel it. They're standing on the plains of Moab, just east of this land, the promised land. They're ready to go in. But this is how Deuteronomy ends. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 34, the first 9 verses. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah. So Moses goes up onto a mountain, and God is going to show him the land. And he's looking westward, and he's going to scan the land from north to south. He's looking out over this land of Canaan. And the Lord showed Moses all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land. This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it, Moses, with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and the mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on Joshua. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. They obeyed Joshua. I read that and I think, that's it? I mean, after all that, Moses dies? Are you kidding me? I mean, the journey had been so excruciating. It had been so long for Moses. God had delivered Moses out of genocide when he was a baby, saved him from extermination, and God, even though Moses was an Israelite, had placed him in Pharaoh's household, and he was raised in Pharaoh's household. Then God had driven him away for 40 years to the land of Midian, where he was in exile for 40 years. But there in Midian, God had called Moses again in the burning bush, and he had called him to go and confront the new Pharaoh, to lead God's people out of Egypt, out of bondage, with great signs and great wonders. And then he had called Moses to lead his unfaithful, stubborn, complaining people for 40 years in the wilderness. And the destination was the land. The destination was Canaan. It was a land of promise, of abundance, of blessing, of rest. Finally a home. And then Moses dies right before he goes in. I mean, this would be like Frodo going from the Shire to Mount Doom. He goes on this entire journey. It's just treacherous. It's long. He's fighting orcs. He's fighting ring wraiths. You know, he's fighting evil wizards and gigantic spiders and pesky golem along the way. And he's almost there, and he gets there almost there, and then he dies before he can destroy the ring. And it's like, oh. It's like a major deflator the way Deuteronomy ends. I mean, where's the happy ending? Where is the utopia? This perfect ideal community living in a perfect ideal land. I mean, that's how the story was supposed to end, because every story ends like that, right? And they lived happily ever after. But Deuteronomy ends with the hero dying and the mission unaccomplished. I mean, they're not in the land yet, and Moses, their leader, is dead. This would be extremely discouraging if Deuteronomy was the end of the story. But we know that Deuteronomy is not the end of the story. Actually, the purpose of Deuteronomy is to jettison us forward to a larger, more complex, more wonderful story that God is unfolding. Had Moses failed as a leader? Well, no. I mean, had God failed to deliver his promise to take his people into the land? No. He just hadn't done it yet. God had already delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt, but he had not yet led them into the land. Already, but not yet. That's a really important phrase that you ought to cling to as a Christian. Already, but not yet. The ending of Deuteronomy, I think, highlights some of the tensions we feel most as Christians living in the world today. With the hero dying and the mission not yet accomplished, these are some of the tensions that I think we feel. On the one hand, God promises life to us, and yet we still experience death. We have to bury our parents. We have to bury our friends. Some of you someday will bury your spouse. Maybe even worse, if that's possible, some of you someday, or some of us, will have to bury our children. And some of us will die someday if the Lord does not return first. On the one hand, God promises satisfaction, but we still experience longing. I mean, we have this deep nagging inside of us that, isn't there something more out there? Don't you feel that longing? On the one hand, God promises delight, but we still experience disappointment. I mean, we know the sting of unmet expectations and unmet desires. We know the pain of being let down in life. On the one hand, God promises rest, but we still experience weariness. I mean, we're tired at the end of the day. We're tired at the end of the week. Sometimes we're so worn down in life, we just feel like I can't go on. On the one hand, God promises home, and yet we are still, as Peter calls us, exiles. We're wanderers on the earth, because this earth, as it exists right now, is not our home yet. I think Deuteronomy is a paradigm. It's a pattern of how we are to live the Christian life, because it doesn't allow the people of God just to exist and live only in the already. It pushes them forward in faith and hope towards the not yet. Israel had lost their leader, Moses, but God had provided another courageous leader in Joshua. God had already shown his faithfulness to Israel by leading them by Moses out of slavery and through the wilderness. God had not yet led them into the promised land, but Deuteronomy pushes them forward to follow Joshua in that. It's a paradigm of the Christian life because it pushes us forward in faith, just as it pushed Israel forward toward the future. And by the way, Joshua was not going to lead Israel perfectly. In fact, Israel was still going to be stubborn. They were still going to be unfaithful. They were still going to turn to other gods. They were going to be hard to lead. And you know what? Here's what the sad part of the story is. Because of their sin, they would never fully take the land of Canaan. And for centuries from this point on, after Deuteronomy, they are going to enter into this cycle that goes like this. God's people are unfaithful. They turn away from God to other gods. God judges their sin, usually through some sort of oppressing nation. Finally, they realize they're being judged, and they cry out to God to save them, and God saves them with some sort of leader or some king, and God redeems them. God rescues them. But then they're unfaithful to him again. They turn away from God, and the cycle turns again, and it keeps on going. Finally, one day, centuries later, a deliverer who was unlike any of the other deliverers would show up on the scene. And Israel, during that time, was being oppressed. This time, they were being oppressed by the Roman Empire. And this deliverer's name was also Joshua, Yeshua. We spell his name Jesus in English. Jesus had come to lead his people out of slavery and into the promised land. But like Moses, Jesus also died. And some people thought the story was over. Some people thought Jesus had failed. But unlike Moses, Jesus was raised from the dead. And his resurrection from the dead proved him to be the final deliverer, the ultimate deliverer for God's people. Jesus, through his death, already delivered his people from slavery to sin. Jesus, through his resurrection, already conquered death, which is our worst enemy. But Jesus has not yet allowed us to experience a world without sin and death and brokenness. Jesus has not yet ushered in his kingdom in full. His promise is to come again and to do so. Until then, we walk by faith in him. We walk by faith in many ways, like the Israelites had to do at the end of Deuteronomy, through all the disappointments, the heartbreaks, the failures, the difficulties of life. And we look in hope to his coming, knowing that God does not fail to deliver on his promises. Because he was faithful in the already, we can be convinced that God will be faithful in that which is not yet. Already, not yet. God will usher in his kingdom in full. In 2 Peter it says, it'll be a new earth in which only righteousness dwells. It will be a land of abundance and blessing and satisfaction and delight and rest. And when we get there, we'll finally be home. That'll be home to us. It's good news. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Providence Church. For more resources and info, visit us online at www.providenceaustin.com.